Well, good morning. And our reading today is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be able to preach God's word to us all this morning. One of the things that our family has noticed as we started to come out of lockdown was just how much or how little petrol we'd used in our car. And when I filled up the tank last time, I noticed it had been 3.5 months since the last time, and that made me just a little bit worried that I might forget how to drive. But then I thought, well, that's a bit stupid, you know. I know how to drive. But what I was concerned about really was that in that period, I might have lost how brilliant and excellent a driver that I was. And then my wife, Ailish, kindly reminded me that lockdown was only three to four months, and what was my excuse for the 10 years before that? But as we continue to come out of lockdown, and hopefully stay out of lockdown, we all might have sort of got out of the habit of doing some things, or maybe we lack confidence in picking something up again. And I wonder if any of us are feeling a little bit like that in terms of talking to people about Jesus. If you are a regular at St. Patrick's, you'll know that during 2020, this is the year of our Name Him initiative, where we sort of hope to grow, thinking long term, we want to grow in confidence about naming Jesus to our friends, to our family, to people we come into contact in a natural way, so that we can show people how precious Jesus is to each of us. And even though the last 4 to 5 months have changed the way we do things significantly, and it's been a challenge and a struggle for so many people, it's been so encouraging to hear stories of Jesus's name being lifted high as people sort of say how God and Jesus have helped them through particular circumstances. But maybe for some of us, well, maybe we've not had the opportunities to share our faith in Jesus for a little while. Or maybe we feel that during lockdown we missed one or two opportunities that, you know, we wish now that we've been able to take. Or maybe you've established new connections, new friendships, new relationships, and you're wondering now, how can I bring Jesus into that discussion? Well, whatever reason, you might just need, like me, some encouragement to maintain or regain momentum in thinking and talking about my faith, your faith in Jesus. Maybe you need a kickstart. So as we were saying earlier, in our series of called Coming Out of Lockdown, our theme today is Name Him. Although, to be honest, you know, we don't need a special day or a special period of special time to talk about Jesus. We want to be doing it. We want to be getting better at it all the time. Because it's right. It's right that we should be reminded about Jesus, lest we forget that knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that we can have in our lives. It's so great that we want other people to know about it as well. But hopefully this increase in social contact that coming out of lockdown brings, as Lorna was mentioning, we hope that that will bring an increase in opportunities to name Jesus. So my aim today is to encourage us to, as we sort of, to come out of lockdown with a commitment and a confidence to know Jesus better and to make Jesus known more. And, you know, as I was thinking about this sermon, I just felt God saying to me, Dave, just keep it simple. So I've got three simple headings for today. Know the truth, live the truth, and tell the truth. And what I mean, putting all my cards on the table straight away, is know Jesus, live Jesus, tell Jesus. because, and if you might have read Martin Hayward's blog on Friday, because you know, Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. He is the answer to all things. So know the truth. That's the starting point, is to know the truth. Or maybe we need to be reminded of the truth so that we're equipped to tell others. So let's remind ourselves of the truth, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, using our passage. And I'm going to use the core verse of the one that Lorna and Sam said we all know already. Maybe we do. John 3:16. And then we'll touch on verse 17 as well. But maybe you're out there, actually. This is a well-known verse. It's a great summary of the good news of Jesus. Maybe you do know it off by heart. But, you know, I reckon there's people watching right now who maybe don't know the Bible, who don't know Jesus and don't know this verse. And so it's really exciting for me because I'm going to read it to you for the first time. Well, the second time, because you heard Sam read it as well. But for the first time, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life," have eternal life, as it says in this version. It is, as I said, it's just a brilliant summary of the gospel. Let's break it down, shall we, as we look at it into the separate sections of words. First of all, for God. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, starts with God. And that's pretty radical in this day and age, in our culture, isn't it? Where everything is about me or I this, me that. I'm in control. I know what's right and wrong. I know what's best for my life. But the Bible tells us that we're not in charge of our own lives. The Bible tells us, as we were singing earlier, that Jesus is the mighty King. And it says, the Bible says that unless we look to God in Jesus, we are lost. And God knows that we're unable to save ourselves from that selfish lifestyle. So the Bible tells us that God took the initiative. God made the rescue plan. God sent the rescuer. It's all about God. For God. So loved the world. God created the world and all that's in it. The Bible tells us that, including us. And he loved it. He loved the world and he loved us. He says that the Bible says it was good. It was very good, as he talks about us. And even though we've messed things up, he still loves the world and he still loves us, because God doesn't change. The Bible tells us that God is unchanging. The love of God is amazing. It's this God so loved the world. It's an unfathomable, inexplicable love. It's a love because God could not love us more, basically. And we know that he can't love us more from how the verse continues, as it says that he gave his one and only Son. If the depth of love is measured by the value of the gift, then God's love could not be greater, because he gave what was most precious to him. He gave Jesus, his only eternal beloved Son. In his great love, he gave Jesus to the world. And then in Jesus' obedience, he gave up his glory. He became a baby and he became a man. He lived a perfect life and he was killed, died on the cross in payment for all the things that you and I have done wrong and will do wrong. God gave Jesus to save us. God could not love the world more. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God in Jesus has done everything, as I've just said, to save us. But he leaves us with a decision to make. Whether to accept that free gift of salvation or whether to reject it. It's our choice whether to grab hold of that lifeline of believing in Jesus so that we can live with him forever in God's presence eternally, forever, or to let go, to reject, to ignore it. In the earlier part of our passage, Jesus has been talking to a leading religious leader called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has been struggling to understand how Jesus can be the saviour of the world and how people are saved. And then in verse 14 and 15, Jesus says this. What might seem like strange verses to us, let me read them to us. Verse 14 and 15. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't sound very simple. I said I was going to keep things simple. Well, it was simple for Nicodemus, actually. It was simple because he knew that Jesus was referring to the Old Testament part of the Bible, 1,500 years before Jesus. That story tells us that the Israelite people, God's chosen people, were in the wilderness on their way to a new land, a chosen land that God had provided for them. And we can read it in the fourth book of the Bible in Numbers, in chapter 21. And it tells us how the people, as they were going through the wilderness, they rebelled against God. And God sent a plague of poisonous snakes as judgment, and many people died. And the Bible tells us that the people were sorry, they turned, they repented, and they said to Moses, ask God to save us. And God tells Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on make it onto a pole and hold it up. And Numbers 21 verse 8, God says this, anyone who is bitten can look at the snake and live. And that's what happened. The people, they looked at the snake, they believed God's word, that by looking at it, by believing that God could heal them, and they were healed. They didn't die. By God's power, they were healed, they were saved. But those who didn't believe, those who didn't look, they died. That's how straightforward it is for us to be saved from the death that we deserve because of our rebellion against God. We look to Jesus. He calls himself the Son of Man here in this passage. We look to Jesus, lifted up on the cross, and we say, yes, Jesus, I believe that your death and your resurrection 3 days later is the only way that my life can be saved from eternal destruction, from eternity without God, to eternal life in God's presence forever. And in verse 17 and 18, as Lorna and Sam so brilliantly explained, underline this further. God sent Jesus for everyone. Jesus' life and death and resurrection, the offer of salvation and eternal life, is for everyone. Jesus came with the sole purpose of saving the world. He did not come to condemn us. Yes, believing and trusting in Jesus means bringing everything we've ever done, however bad, however embarrassing it might be to us, bringing that into Jesus' light and committing to turning round, to leaving that rebellious life and start to go in the same direction as Jesus, putting him first in all things. But Jesus doesn't get us to do that so he can condemn us or humiliate us or make us look rubbish. He gets us to do that so he can take it all on himself, to give us a new start, to give us a new life, guilt-free, sin-free. But it's also clear in verse 18 that if we don't accept Jesus' free gift, we are condemned. Not by Jesus' rejection of us, but by our rejection of him. We choose not to look. We choose not to believe. We choose to not grab hold of that lifeline that he offers. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Know the truth and keep reminding yourself of it. And then secondly, live the truth. We're hoping to have opportunities to name Jesus. And many of the opportunities, you know, are likely to arise from our relationships, our connections with other people. We may get random opportunities and that would be great. But generally, our opportunities to speak about Jesus, about our faith in him, will come from people that we know. And their first impressions may not be based on what we say about the truth, but how we live the truth. For instance, in how we handle our money, how we look at our careers, how important that is to us, what we think about education of our children, how we've coped during lockdown, for instance. Or as we've been talking specifically in our sermons in this series, how we show care for the fellowship of other Christians, how we rest well in the Lord as we look to have a Sabbath rest each week, how we respond to the needs of the world, particularly those people who are worse off than us. Are our lives distinctive in that people might ask, well, why do you do that? Why do you do it that way? Why don't you do this? We do that not because we want to fool people that we're good, but to show people that we're bad people who have turned to Jesus in repentance, believe in Jesus. We've heard the good news and we want to show how that's changed our lives, how that's changed our priorities, so Jesus gets the honour. And these things will flow from our joy, our deep joy in knowing Jesus, and that conviction that he is more precious to us than anything, whatever the circumstances. If you're not joyful in knowing Jesus, if you feel that you've lost the passion of our first love for the Lord, if you've forgotten just how deep the Father's love is for you and for me, then it may well show up in the decisions we make about the way we live our lives. We may not be distinctive as we want to be. We may not be as salty as God wants us to be. So we might need to find ways to turn up the gas or even to reignite the burners. What do we do? Well, we start as we always do. We start with prayer. We look to God. And we ask God by his Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us afresh. And we do that through the regular reading of God's word, the Bible. Reading it through, reading it using Bible notes, reading it with other people. You know, there's so many ways. If you want to know ways, come and have a word. I was going to say come and have a word with me after, but, you know, contact me. And, you know, I can give you some ideas as to ways to read the Bible. One idea today as we look at John 3:16, this wonderful verse, is to meditate on this verse. And I mean meditate, sit and ask God to help you to really understand it in quietness. Don't do any work. Let God do the work for you and in you by his Spirit. Ask for a bigger vision of Jesus and go through it. Maybe go through the verse word by word, asking the Lord to deepen your understanding of each word and the whole verse, so that you see again Jesus on the cross, clearly showing the full extent of God's love for you. And if that's a struggle at the moment, then there are plenty of ways that you can watch and listen to other people open up God's word. We've got our sermon archive on our website, particularly those in January about Name Him, for instance, but right up till March we've got that. We've got all of our live streams on YouTube that you can watch. There are loads of things. Things like those annual conventions like Keswick that Helen mentioned, Spring Harvest, New Wine, all on YouTube where you can get some great teaching. You can join or rejoin a small group to study the Bible together. You don't have to wait for the new term to do that. If you want ideas about who you might do that with, speak to our assistant minister, Sam Lomas. He'll help you do that. Or listen to other people's testimonies to encourage you. And again, Sam has put together these wonderful vlogs, you know, video interviews on YouTube, in talking to people about how they first heard about Jesus or people who talked to them about Jesus. Really encouraging. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Live the truth. Draw attention to Jesus. And then thirdly, tell the truth. You know, with the truth of the gospel firmly, you know, etched in our heart and that commitment to reflect the truth in the way that we live, our hope is that there will be new opportunities to tell the truth, to name Jesus and show why knowing him is crucial for us all. You know, if you're like me, I expect you'd like to have one amazing conversation that leads straight away to someone committing their life to the Lord Jesus. But often it will take a lot of little conversations which arise out of our connections, out of our relationships with people. It might arise perhaps from the way that we live out the truth. And as I say, that raises a question. A friend or a contact says, well, why are you doing that? Why won't you do this? That might get the conversation going. And these little things, they're great. You know, we should celebrate them. That little strap line, that Tesco strap line, every little helps. It fits here, I think. You know, wherever we talk about Jesus, however small we might think it is, it's a great thing. We should celebrate it. What we say to someone about our faith could be the first chain in their journey towards Jesus. For actually, it could be the thing that finally encourages someone to persuade them to step into Jesus' territory. It could be anything in between. It doesn't matter. The important thing is talk about Jesus where you can. I know it's not always easy. We may feel inadequate. We may get scared that we're going to be asked a difficult question that we can't answer. I got a couple of those in the Christianity Explored called recently. We may fear losing a friend because of what we say about Jesus or what we think they will feel when we talk about Jesus. And some people just can't or won't believe or accept our testimony of Jesus. As we heard from our reading, we're not alone. Jesus, in verses 11 and 12, is talking to someone, Nicodemus, who should be able to put the pieces together because he's a religious leader. He knows all about the Bible. He should be able to accept Jesus. But at that time, Nicodemus and so many others, they just exasperated Jesus because they wouldn't accept and see the truth in him. I love this in verse 11, where Jesus associates himself with you and me as he talks about telling people about him, because he says, we speak of what we know, we testify, already looking forward to the people like us who are going to talk about him in the future. Jesus faced barriers, we're going to face all sorts of barriers too, but we must still tell the truth. It's not for us to give a more palatable, what we think is a more palatable version of the gospel in order for people to believe, because that would be misleading. That would be false teaching. We have to tell the truth. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable, but there is only one gospel. If you're like me, you're always looking for encouragement to, you know, talk about Jesus, find people to encourage you to do that. And I've just read a book recently in the last few weeks, and I want to recommend it to you today. It's called Stay Sought, S-A-L-T. It's by a woman, Rebecca Manley Pippert. And I found it really helpful. I found it helpful particularly in encouraging me to stick firmly to the truth and not to, for example, to be discouraged, not even intimidated by the, you know, the culture of the secularist culture that seems to be growing. Or that view that there is no ultimate truth. Or the opposite view that, you know, whatever we believe, again, this is what Martin said in his blog on Friday, you can believe whatever you like and make it true. This book was really helpful in not being discouraged or intimidated by those views. But it was also helpful in practical ways about overcoming those feelings of inadequacy that I mentioned, ideas for talking about Jesus naturally, how to manage difficult questions. And what I also liked was the encouragement that she gives to live distinctive lives confident of the unseen hope that we believe in. It's all grounded in real encounters that Becky's had with people over her life. I definitely recommend it to you. It's published by the Good Book Company. You can go down to Wallington to the Oasis shop and get them to order it for you. It's a really good book. But of course, that's not where our strength and our power to speak for Jesus will come from. Verse 12 tells us that Jesus, he is from above. He is from heaven. He is God. And so that means that the good news that we say, that we tell, the truth that we share, comes from heaven. When we speak that heavenly good news to others, we do it in God's strength, in his heavenly power, by his Holy Spirit. The outcome ultimately is between the person and God. But what a privilege for us to get called to get involved with heavenly things before we get there. Last thing before I finish. I just wonder, you know, you're out there now and, you know, there must be someone in your heart, in your mind that you just know God is saying to you, I need to talk to that person about Jesus or about my faith. Before you go off and cook the lunch or whatever you're going to do when we've finished our service, why don't you write that name down on a piece of paper? Why don't you, you know, pray for that opportunity to speak to that person about Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Know the truth, live the truth, tell the truth. Amen.